Whew. Beautiful. Thank you, guys. Wow. Man, that sound like just like if you when you sing in the shower. Now, why is it that when you sing in the shower, you sound really great? But then when you get out, it's like you're so low, so low that nobody wants to hear you, right? Amen. Open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3 as we prepare our hearts for communion. This morning, we will not be going through Acts. We'll pick up on Acts chapter 9 next week. The reason being is that this morning I came in. One thing about also, I just had a great time in Vegas sharing Christ, and I went to visit my uncle too. I haven't seen him in a long time. My dad's brother, him and his my aunt, and they're devout Catholics. So when we go there, sometimes we do discuss scriptures and spiritual things. Well, they decided to come out to the soccer field and to join us, and haven't seen them in a long time. So they came out and we sat there, and we one of the issues that came up that we were talking about was the difference between the marriages between man and woman and how it's sanctified by God. And I started sharing scriptures, he asked me, well, what do you think about marriage between woman and woman, man and man? I said, I started sharing how God loves them. God loves them. God hates sin. Sin is sin, but God loves them. And I shared some scriptures. He goes, well, he says, well, I don't know. I don't read the Bible like you do. He says, I'm not into the Bible like you are. And then, my aunt, she was sitting there, and it was as they were playing soccer, one of the players kicked the ball, was heading directly towards us, and she stuck her hand out to block the ball. So she blocked the ball, but she broke her wrist. So here, I haven't seen him in a long time, and now if you go on Facebook, she has Facebook, she's getting this big cast. So, but just being able to share the gospel everywhere, I just love it. And this morning when I came in, I was had my study up, and I'm talking about spiritual warfare. And I lost it. I lost everything, and I couldn't find it. And I had probably saved it, and I don't know where. Only the Lord knows. And so, of course, obviously, you're gonna, panic. Yeah, I panic, and I shut the door, and I'm saying, "Oh no, Lord, what am I gonna do? It's Sunday morning. It's a couple more hours, and I gotta get up there. Oh, what am I gonna do, Lord?" It's a common thing to do. And then God just kind of spoke to me, and it's communion. Share about why we're here at communion. So I said, okay, right, okay, God, I put it in there. And I started doing this study. And then when I went to print it out, it only would print out four pages in the first page. It did not want to print it out. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? I don't understand this, Lord. And it's not printing. And so I kept trying to print the first page. It would not print out. Then the words, how the words in Christ are all red? And when you print them out, they're supposed to come out in red. As I was printing them out, they came out in this fluorescent yellow. And I can't, yellow on white paper, it's kind of hard to see. And so I have it, and I'm like, what is going on here, Lord? I don't get it. Where's the rest of it? Five pages. God wants to do something great. And so I said, okay, I'm going to come in here, and I talked to the worship. I told Dominic, I said, hey, guys, I got good news and bad news. What do you want first? And they said, the bad news. Well, the bad news, I lost my entire service. The good news is you're going to be sharing worship, a little bit more worship than normal. And the neat thing about it is they said, wow, we were just talking about that, how we're going to need a little bit more time to worship because we got these songs that are a little longer. And I figured, you know what? God is in control. God knew it. Why do we freak out? We just got it over and over. God reminds us that he is in control because the steps of the Lord are ordered by God. But here in Ephesians, look at Ephesians chapter 3 as we're going to just go through this quickly and then prepare our hearts for communion. And verse 17, look at verse 17. It's one of our favorites. It's my favorite. I love it. In verse 17, he says that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with the fullness of God. A lot of questions that Paul brings out here, and a few I want to throw out to you. But how can you know something which passes knowledge? When you think of God, how can you be filled with the fullness of God when even the universe can't contain him? It says that his feet rest on the earth. When David wanted to build a house, he says, how can you build me a house? A house cannot contain me. The universe can't contain me. But the question here that Paul gives, it's answered and it's found in verse 18. Look at verse 18. Chapter 3, Ephesians 3. Did I say that? Okay. It's answered there in verse 18. It says, being rooted and grounded in love. 17. See, it's all the, I'm telling you, this is spiritual warfare, because my printer has never been like that before. Now it's even printed out in Old English. Old English lettering, and I don't know, I just give it to the Lord. Anyways, okay, so you get the picture, you know? But that's the question. That's where another question brings up. Questions here says, what is being rooted? You know, what does it mean to be grounded? What is love? Think about love, guys. Think about when you thought you experienced true love. When I first met Carmen, actually when I first saw her dancing for me in the third grade, I thought I knew love. I saw her up there, and her school, McKinley, is that McKinley? Yeah, McKinley. Came to Brooklyn Elementary to do a Friday assembly, and she was up there dancing to Michael Jackson, Dancing Machine. And I looked up there, and I fell in love. And I thought that was true love. And then when I actually met her in the sixth grade, and we've been together ever since, I thought that was true love. True love in the world is sometimes can be deceiving. I even wrote her a poem saying that I would die and go to hell for you. And I thought that was love. Well, honestly, I can say, no, I wouldn't do that. That ain't happening, girl. No. But you said you would die for me. I would die for you, yes, but I won't go to hell for you. You know? God, Jesus came to pay the price for me so I didn't have to go to hell. So why would I waste that? You know? What is it to be love? Well, again, the answer is found in the tree of Calvary, the cross. That's where these questions are found. Where the tree of Calvary, it was rooted deep. The cross was grounded deep for us. So there's only one way that we can truly know the love of God. That love that passes all understanding is when I focus my eyes upon the cross of Calvary and what he did for me. When I understand the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of God's love. Well, the breath of his love is when he stretched out his hands and he died on the cross. That's the breath of his love. And what length did he go to spread out his arms? Because, you know, he was slain before the foundation of the world existed. Revelations chapter 13, verse 8 tells us that. Before the foundations of the world, Jesus, the breath of his love was to spread out his arms and die for us. I love 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 and 17. This is a faithful saying, a worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? Sinners. This is why he came, to save me, a sinner, to save you, a sinner, in whom I am the chief. Paul's saying this. He says he's the chief of all sinners. Well, look what God did through him. He wrote most of the New Testament. Look at all that he did. And if he's the chief of all sinners, that makes us president of sinners. That's how I feel. When I get up there, I'm going to say, you know, Chief, Paul, you said you're the chief of all sinners. I got you. I got you. More because I'm the president of sinners. I was a president of all sinners. Not no more, though, obviously. But For this very reason, I obtained mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ might show his all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. The length of his love is that he came and he, before the foundations of the world, to die for us. Why? That he can be a pattern for us and that people can get saved. They can see us and we can lead them to Christ. We can pray for them. Like that girl at the soccer field who was totally surprised and shocked that I would ask her. Most of them believe, and in the view of the church today, it's sad to say that a lot of them are offended by the church. A lot of them don't even want nothing to do with the church because the church is in it is like really hard on them. And for her, when I said I would love to pray for you, and her eyes were it was a look of shock, a look of what? You want to pray for me? But that's what he came for. And you know what? His sufferings are beyond anything what I can comprehend, what you can comprehend. He had to die for everyone's sins. Therefore, the length to which he went to accomplish this is beyond my understanding, guys, that he would die for me. Would you die for someone who spit in your face? I love that saying, that story of that man who was on the bridge conductor. And his job was to lift the bridge up. Every time the train would pass by or a ship would come, he had to lift the train track up so that the ship can go through. Well, one day it was bring your child to work. And he brought his child, and his child was playing by the gears. And here comes this ship, and here comes this train. And as the train was coming, he lifted up the tracks so that the ship can go through. As he was bringing the tracks down, his child got caught in the gears, and he had to stop. And as this train was coming, he knew the train was coming. So he had to make a decision here. Does he leave the bridge, drawbridge up, save his son? Or does he lower it down, kill his son, and save people? And so the story goes on where he lowered the bridge and his son was killed. And as that train went by, he looked, he saw a party going on. People were drinking, people were partying, they were drunk and making noise, and he watched as the train go by. That Jesus would die for me, I can't, it's hard to sometimes understand or comprehend the length to which he was willing to save me. How deep did he go? Listen, when he cried on the cross, remember when he was on the cross? He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that time, those cries were cries of deep despair. They're from the depth of his heart, from the heart of God. And he was paying the price for our sins, for your sins. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 and 38, as Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and the stone and stones those who are sent to hear, how often I wanted to gather you together as a hen gathered her chicks in her wings, and that you were not willing. Man, when I picture Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, he came up, he saw Jerusalem, he started to weep. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I just wanted to gather you, I wanted to love you, I wanted to die for you, willing to die for you, and you would not. You know, every time Jesus used the name twice, it was because his heart was breaking or he was hurting for them. We got several stories, Luke chapter 22, verse 31, when he was talking to Simon. Remember, he said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brothers. Luke chapter 10, verse 41 through 42, when he was talking to Martha, he was there with Lazarus, his best friend there, Mary and Martha, and he said, and Martha was complaining about Mary not helping her with the dishes, and he was sitting there, and she was sitting at his feet, and he said, Martha, Martha, You are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. And then Acts chapter 9, which we'll look at next week, verse 4, when Saul was going around and he was persecuting the Christians, and he was putting men, consenting to men, women, and I'm sure the children were involved in this, and putting them in prison. And he was going to Damascus to do the same thing there, and he had an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus came on the scene and he fell to the ground. He heard this voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "It is I, Jesus, whom you are persecuting." John chapter 11, verse 33. It says, "Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled. And he said, where have they laid him?" In regards to Lazarus, when Lazarus died, he went up there, and I pictured Jesus, and Lazarus was a good friend, and they came and said, "Jesus, your friend is dying. You need to come and heal him." And he says, "Not yet." And he said, his death is for a purpose. His sickness is for a purpose. He didn't go. And then days later, he finally went. By that time, he was dead. And they were all weeping. And it says that he wept. He wept. And it says here in John chapter 11, verse 36, and they said to him, "Lord, come and see where he lays." And in verse 35, Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. You know, Jesus weeps sometimes because he knows our true condition. He knows that what? Sin destroys. Sin will kill. So he weeps for us. Think about it. How would you feel? How do you feel when your loved ones are caught up in some terrible sin? When they're involved or backslidden? Don't you see that? And don't you see the heartaches and the sadness all around because of sin? Can't you see it? I mean, I see it every time I come here at night. I weep for this community within my heart. Every night when I watch the video and I see this side of our building right here, every night, people using the restroom. This is a restroom. It's like an outhouse. And I weep over them. I'm like, "Lord, how can this be? What do we need to do? Do we need to come here at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, shifts, and sit there? And when people come up, say, 'Hey, would you like to use the restroom? Come on in.' And did you know that Jesus loves you? Is this something, a way that we can reach them?" I weep over that because it's deep within my heart. Doesn't it give you a heavy heart sometimes when you realize that others are hurting because of sin? How do you feel? What is the height of his love? Well, just imagine you guys, imagine you're at the cross, okay? You're there, Jesus is on the cross, and you're looking up him, and you're seeing him at the cross, and he's just all, you can't even recognize him, and blood is pouring out, and he's praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And you hear those words. Well, the only way that we can truly know that which is passes all understanding and knowledge is we have to consider the height, the depth, the length, the breadth of the cross. And this is why we're called to do communion. The cross that was rooted and grounded on the hill of what? Calvary, where he died. When I was in Israel and I saw that hill and I looked at it and all I can see and picture was that those crosses up on that hill. You have this sense of silence and a sense of a quietness, and you sit there and you just meditate on that. And here we're commanded to remember this each time we partake of the Lord's table. He commands us. Because it's here at the Lord's table where we're going to be filled with the fullness of God. We're going to be rooted. We're going to be grounded in the love of Christ and what he did at the cross. Right here. When we take communion, think about that. Picture yourself there. Picture the length, the breadth, the height, the width of him going to the cross for you, for your sins. and how much he grieved over that. And praise God, now that he's no longer on the cross, he's gone to prepare a place for you. He says, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And where I've gone, I'm coming back for you. It doesn't stop there. He's coming back for us. And once and for all, we'll be delivered from this. So as we prepare our hearts for communion, I want you to think on those things. What does it mean to be rooted? What does it mean to be grounded? And what is that love that died for me? Let God's Spirit minister to you. And let him just grieve over your condition. If you're not right with the Lord, grieve over that condition. And let him heal you. And get excited that he does heal us. He heals us. I'm excited that I'm free from the bondage of sin. I have victory in Christ. I thank God that he paid the price for my past, present, and future sins. And then one day, I'm going to stand in his presence forever. My granddaughter's always going like this. When we eat, we'll say, eat, and she'll lift her hand like, and everything we do is this. And I catch myself doing that a lot now. I'm excited that I'm going to be in heaven. Amen? Let's prepare our hearts for communion. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you this morning. And as we come together, we know that all things fall into place with you, Lord. You know us by name. Before the foundation of the world existed, you knew us. You elected us. Jesus, you justified us on the cross with your blood. And Holy Spirit, you sanctify us. You set us apart for God, for unto good works. And you said all we have to do now is receive it by faith because it's reserved in heaven for us. So this morning, as we prepare our hearts for communion, Lord, as we take communion, may we think on what it is to be rooted, what it is to be grounded in love. May we think about that love of Christ that passes all understanding, all knowledge, the love of Christ that went to the cross for us, that died for such a person as me. You're willing to die for me, Lord. You're willing to cleanse me, make me whole. But you had to suffer for it. You paid the price. And we are so thankful for what you have done for us. We can never repay you, Lord, but we can worship you and we can serve you and we can seek you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So as we take communion, Lord, we pray that you will speak to us this morning, that we can clear our minds, our thoughts, that we can have that oneness with you, that we can look at the cross and see you there, picture you in our mind and saying, Lord, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. And then seeing you standing there and say, hey, put your finger in the hole in my hand or your hand in my side. And then seeing you being risen up into the cloud and say, lo, I am with you into the ends of the earth. Lord, we want that one-on-one relationship with you. Bless us this morning, Lord. Bless us. Speak to us. Touch us and guide us, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand.
Stars they went when sun was yet dead, and the Savior of the world was falling. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. Thank you. final breath he gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, a war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broken. The ground begins to shake, the stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated, and forever he is glorified. Forever he is lifted high, and forever he is risen. He is alive. He is alive. The ground began to shake, the stone was rolled away, his perfect love could not be overcome. Now death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated.
Overcome. Thank you, Jesus. You are our Lord and Savior, Lord. We thank you for what you did for us at Calvary, Lord. We thank you for being rooted and grounded, Lord, for us. Therefore, being rooted and grounded in love, we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. It's beyond knowledge of understanding. It's a heart knowledge. It's an experience, Lord, that we have in our life, a changed life, that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Thank you for filling us, Lord. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for returning for us. We are so grateful, Father, And as we take communion, Lord, we want to remember all that you have done for us and that you are continually doing for us. You haven't stopped. You're still doing for us. You're still watching over us, Lord. I thank you that what we have is real. That you went on the cross, it was real. Thank you that you did it publicly, out in the open, so the world can see. Let our lives be like you on the cross, that the world can see. Can see Christ in us. When we're out there in the world, may they see Jesus, the love of Christ in us, and how we're rooted and grounded in love. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. Forgive us in our shortcomings. Forgive us for our faults, the ones that we know we've committed, the ones that we're going to commit. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning, that we can experience your grace and your peace. Bless us as we partake, Lord. Let it be special, Lord. Let it be fulfilling. Let it be real. Let us leave here changed, Lord. We thank you, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake. Praise God. I thank the Lord for my salvation. I really do. We're saved, guys. Praise God. Woo! Like Gia does, we're saved. Saved, saved, saved. So walk in the newness of God, okay? Be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Amen. God bless you.